And joining us live is Andrew Pittman, a Seattle firefighter who just lost his job. Andrew, thank you for coming on with me today.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, and is that accurate? Are you pending some exemption hearing, or were you fired as of today?
I have not been officially terminated. I have been taking off of the staffing matrix and put on an administrative detail, I guess you'd say. But there's nothing that says I'm terminated, but I have packed my gear and have no faith in their ability to reasonably accommodate me based on their kind of their discussions with other members that have gone before me.
So what numbers are you hearing of all your brothers and sisters in the same boat as you? How many firefighters are we going to lose?
So I heard today that there was about 150 that are not in the operations companies, but most of those, not most of those, a number of those will be readmitted because they were kind of standing in solidarity with us. And so maybe they have been vaccinated for months and just didn't want to play this game.
Okay.
My best guess would be at least 100 will retire or no longer be employed in one fashion or another.
And so your reason for not being vaccinated is what?
I just have strong moral and philosophical convictions against taking this shot, and that, you know, I've seen enough injury close to home as a result of the shot, and that we have a reasonably sound body that can fight this. We've already had COVID go through our family, so they are not offering any exemptions for natural immunity. I mean, I can go on for a while on it, but at the end of the day, they just don't want to hear anything other than get the shot, retire, resign.
Isn't it amazing, Andrew? The words you just said, you have strong moral and philosophical convictions against it. Can you believe in the United States of America, public servants are getting fired for strong moral and philosophical convictions? I mean, this is incredible to me, but we've slowly been moving in this direction. But now I think people realize what happens when we keep moving in that direction.
It's just mind-blowing for me and my family. And, you know, I've got a lot of really good friends that are vaccinated, and they're staying behind, and they just can't make any sense of it either. And that's one of the big travesties is it's just splitting people right down the middle. You know, in the fire service as well as police, we're very much a family and we support each other. We go through some very harrowing things together, and we all understand, like, there's a lot of implications. We've lost brothers and sisters to COVID in the fire service, some that have been not vaccinated, and, you know, there's plenty of stories on both sides, but all we want is a reasonable discussion with our administration, and that is absolutely not what's happening. And it's causing a lot of stress on members that are, you know, for us, we're gone. Like, I just count my blessings. I have something to fall back on, and that there's a lot of folks left behind that just don't have any faith in their administration because of their lack of logical reasoning.
Yeah, I understand that. In fact, since you brought up your administration, my friend Brandy Cruz at Fox 13, she just spoke with Fire Chief Scoggins. And I have not heard the sound, but we're just getting this in, Andrew. But you and I will hear it at the same time together. And it's a little long, but I want to get your reaction. So here is Fire Chief Scoggins just moments ago.
Do you believe that for the last 20 months they've been out putting the public at risk?
I don't believe our firefighters have been out putting the public at risk, because we've done an amazing job at our testing sites, our vaccination sites, running 911 calls. I mean, in September, we ran 7,900 calls. 4,200 were BLS related. Another 1,100 were ALS related. Fire alarms, fires into encampments, into buildings. Our goal is not to put the public at risk. Throughout the entire pandemic, we have had one transmission on a call from a patient to a firefighter, but other than that, we haven't. Inside our stations, which are congregate settings, we have had transmissions where our firefighters live together for 24 hours, and we have had over 400 of our firefighters placed in quarantine and isolation over the last 20 months for COVID. So it's not just the calls out in the field, it's inside of our station houses all the time.
So if, as you said, over 20 months, one transmission, it was patient to firefighter. Over in Spokane, one of the things they did is they took all the unvaccinated firefighters, rounded them up, and assigned them to a single station. Why not consider doing something like that to keep them in service if the risk is firefighter to firefighter?
Well, I don't know how that plan would work. I would need probably a few more details. But if those firefighters are going out the door and responding to community members after the mayor's directive and the governor's proclamation, if there is a transmission from a whole crew of unvaccinated firefighters, well, I think there's risks involved there.
You just said there's been one transmission in 20 months.
Yes.
And that you don't think your firefighters for the last 20 months have been putting anybody at risk. So right. Why would that suddenly change? Because there's now a vaccine available.
Well, the rules change tomorrow.
The rules change. So there's no actual public health reason for what they are doing to you and your brothers and sisters, Andrew. They're just doing it simply because the rules change. I mean, that's remarkable to me.
It's a crazy time in history. And I probably got to say this as well, as I'm not a spokesperson for the Seattle Fire Department. I totally expect to be fired. So I don't want to bring ill will on the department. And that is my chief. And I signed on in the Seattle Fire Department and took an oath right around the same time he did. I've been at this department just about the same time. And I saw that sounded a little bit ago, and I've never seen him so squirmish in my time in the Seattle Fire Department. And that's telling to me. There's a lot to be said about rule changes. We deal with constant changes in our workplace because we're responding to emergencies, and we need to keep each other safe. And our workplace is constantly changing because we respond to the environment that we're called to. And I totally understand how things change, but it's been an unreasonable change. And many parts of the department, I feel, have failed to be transparent in this change. And I think that they're just responding in a very distrustful fashion. Like, I know for me that I've had no trust in the last few months in my administration. And I don't think, and it's tough because the rules do change, but if I recall correctly, the state LNI has decided long before COVID that, if I get the flu at work, it's not really a workplace exposure. It's just kind of the nature, like if you get sick at work too, you don't get paid to go home because you got the flu. And when the COVID hit our neck of the woods, they had kind of leaned on that policy and said that, COVID is going to be kind of treated in the same light, understanding that it's not, but that's just kind of the closest relative policy we have to that.
Sure.
And if I remember correctly, I could be wrong, but I believe Chief Scoggins worked with the mayor to work on our behalf. So that way, if we got sick and had to go home, they would allow us to be paid while we were at home. So all of that cost that he's talking about transmissions being costly to the department and incurring costs on the city was something that they decided to be in our best interest and negotiated at the beginning of the pandemic, which was, really exemplary of how progressive we are as a fire department to really lead the way and say we're going to take care of our members.
Yeah.
And here we are a short time later saying, nope, hit the road. We're not going to take care of you. And that's
what
really
still
a failure
make
of
it
responsibility to say, hey, I negotiated this. That's part of the cost I incurred.
Right. And sorry to interrupt, but you look at this from, a big time perspective. You guys, or you men and women, you were out there all of 2020 when 0% of the population was vaccinated, and that was fine to be at full force. But now here we are in October of 2021, 80% of the population is vaccinated, and now we got a fire, 100 firefighters. None of this makes any consistent sense at all to me, Andrew.
No, and there's a lot of data that's been collected within the fire department that that tells a different story, that there's vaccinated members coming in and spreading it to unvaccinated, and they don't want to answer to that, or they kind of make up a new story as they go, because, of course, the rules are changing.
Yeah,
I think one of the telling quotes that tells something is that one of the chiefs had mentioned something to the effect of, there's not enough information to quiet the conspiracy theorist. And I never believed myself to be a conspiracy theorist, but when 2 + 2 stops equaling 4, you start to question your environment. And that's what it feels like is happening to us.
Yeah, these ad hominem attacks that people think that they're going to grow horns and all that. All they're trying to do is silence anybody who has some convictions and, as you said, some faith against this. So real quick, how many kids do you have?
I have 4 kids.
How tough were these conversations with your wife?
They're some of the hardest I've ever had.
Tell me why.
This isn't just a paycheck for us. This is a way of life. This is our family we're leaving behind. This is the relationships, you know, that we've built. My kids are as much vested in showing up at the fire station as I am. They love these people. This is a calling. You know, I came from a very different background than maybe most people, and I felt a calling to help out people. And I worked in the Northgate neighborhood most of my career, and I was able to help people in situations that maybe other people weren't quite aligned to. So it's not just about a paycheck or a good, you know, retirement plan or whatever anybody else on the outside thinks. This is a calling for a huge majority of us. And so to be told that we're unsafe to be in our work environment, that people are afraid of us in the public, I never felt that, man. I show up at an emergency last Saturday on my last shift at work, and those people were so glad that I was there, and I did everything that our policy states that we need to do to be protected against each other in COVID transmission. And that's what people see. They see us wearing masks and gloves and eye protection and doing all the right things, and they trust that we're showing up responsibly to mitigate their hazard. Yeah. I mean, the essence of the fire service is to mitigate hazards.
Yeah, now this is incredible. Hey, we only have a few seconds left, Andrew. So a bunch of you dropped your boots on the steps of City Hall this morning, and then tell my listeners what you went and did after that.
We're picking up some plumbing supplies and just trying to focus on the next step in front of us and count our blessings. You know, it was a very surreal and liberating moment for myself and a few other of the folks that were there. I mean, that's where I got, sworn into the fire department, was at City Hall.
Sure.
You know, Chief Scoggins and many others were there to say, welcome aboard. And we love and honor you. And that's not what it feels like today. So it was a very emotional time.
Didn't a bunch of you go and cook breakfast for the homeless too, down Pioneer Square?
Yes. Yes, yes, we did. That was just a kind of an organic movement, like, all right, well, this is the final hour for us, and if that's how they want to act, and push us out, then, you know, we still love this city. I still have very much pride in the badge that I wore down there in my uniform, and we wanted to help people out, and they were very happy.
Hmm. I don't know if we cut off or not there. Andrew, if you can still hear me, God bless you. Thank you for all your service, and know that the vast majority of us appreciate what you and your brothers and sisters have done. So Andrew Pittman, Seattle firefighter, who's about to be fired, it sounds like. And it sounds like, did he drop off, Sean? Did the call drop for some reason?
Are you there now?
Oh, now I can hear you. Yeah. So yeah, I was just saying thank you for coming on. God bless you and your family. And, I know the integrity of all these people I've been talking to. I know things will work out, but I'm just sorry you've all been put in this situation.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Okay. All right. Andrew Pittman, Seattle firefighter, about to be fired. This is, first of all, we're losing many of the most experienced cops and firefighters. I've talked to people who were specially trained for the units in which they serve, both police and fire. I've seen most other cities in the country not do what we're doing here. As he mentioned, in Spokane, they are not firing the firefighters who are unvaxxed. Brandy said that. They're just letting them take shifts together, the unvaxxed, and be the family in a firehouse together. Everybody else is making accommodations. This is, make no mistake about this, this is not about public health. If it was about public health, they would have done this when everybody was unvaccinated last year. This is about power and control. And I have never had this kind of power over the lives of a great number of people. And I don't understand why it's so intoxicating. I don't understand why every time Jay Inslee and Jenny Durkin and Dal Constein have talked about this subject the last few days and weeks, why they sound so gleeful. And every, oh, we have great news, 90% are vaccinated. That means thousands are going to be fired if 10% are unvaccinated. They just sounded so gleeful. And so this is about power and control. It is also about a pharmaceutical industry that has hit record numbers of revenues and profits and wealth for their key board members. And they need to keep expanding the marketplace. And your children are next. And there really is no reason, in my view, for a 5 to 11-year-old to get vaccinated. There's no reason. If you as a parent, if you have a different view, that's fine. But I don't see any reason whatsoever to vaccinate 5 to 12-year-olds. And so, to me, that is nothing but the pharmaceutical companies wanting to get their product injected into our children for the simple reason that they got to keep the money flowing. And California is already mandating the vax of school kids, public and private. Joe Biden says that he's already purchased, with your and my money, the vaccinations for all of the children in America so they can take care of the kids as well. And so this is where we are now. This is where we are in America, where values, convictions can cost you your job.